All right. I'm calling the meeting of the House Special Committee on Energy to order. Today is Tuesday, April 25th, and the time is now 10:15 a.m. We're joined by Representative Prox. I'm sure the other representatives will be here shortly. In the room, I don't see any representatives that are not usually sitting at the table to recognize. And with us today, I want to thank Jordan Wright, our LIO moderator, Kelsey Riker, and the committee aide, Craig Valdez, for all they do for this committee. Before we begin, I'd like to remind the members of the audience and those here at the table to silence any cell phones or any other personal electronics. If anyone in the audience today needs to pass a note to the committee members, please get the attention of the committee aide, Craig Valdez, and he'll take care of it. Hold all your questions till the end of each slide during the presentation. Please direct any questions to the members of the panel and vice versa, any members of the panel, to the testifiers through the chair. Today we'll hear an overview of the Arctic Energy Office of the U.S. Department of Energy, given by Dr. Aaron Whitney, director of the said office. Dr. Whitney is with us via Teams today, and with that, I want to recognize that Representative McKay is here with us now, and so is Representative Wright and Representative Shragi. Appreciate you all. Thank you, Director Whitney. I appreciate it. We did have you scheduled earlier, but we had a long floor session, and I have to apologize because you were actually here in the room then. I believe you were willing to testify here in Juneau, and now we have you on Teams. But anyway, so are there any other questions for the team members before we start? All right, Dr. Whitney, I appreciate it if you put your name on record and your affiliation, and you start your presentation.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Aaron Whitney, and I am with the Arctic Energy Office for the U.S. Department of Energy. I have a brief overview today of the Arctic Energy Office, and I had the pleasure of meeting with a couple of you in person a month or so ago when I was able to come to Juneau in person. And today is some additional information about our office's capabilities and some of the resources we are able to provide. My hope is that we can be a resource to you should you have energy-related questions about Alaska or the ways in which the Department of Energy works in Alaska. Next slide, please. All right. I will just say that there's a bit of a glare on that screen, though, so I'm just assuming that we're at the slide number two here because it's hard to read from my vantage. The Arctic context for the Department of Energy is compelling. I love this map because it shows the opportunities and it also hints at some of the challenges of the Arctic. We have many different voices in the Arctic. We have a number of different countries. Notably, we have Russia, which is featuring prominently in our political landscape today. We also have a large number of indigenous voices. In Alaska alone, we have nearly half of the nation's federally recognized tribes, and other countries have their indigenous populations as well. So many opportunities, many challenges, and a very complex and interesting and stimulating region that is important both nationally and internationally. Next slide, please. This brings us to one of the reasons that the Department of Energy has an Arctic Energy Office. We are the only regional office in the Department of Energy ecosystem. We report directly to the Undersecretary for Science and Innovation, Dr. Jerry Richmond. And our vision is really to bring the Arctic to DOE and to bring the DOE to Arctic. And we have three pillars that we are responsible for: energy, science, and security. That's a lot to cover, and I've taken to calling my employer the Department of Everything for that reason. And I should also just back up and say that I have been in this position since January of this year. Although I am fairly new to the position, I am not new to the energy space. Prior to my assignment here, I was a faculty member at the University of Alaska Fairbanks with the Alaska Center for Energy and Power. And then I, before that, was at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory as a researcher. I'm an Alaska kid. I grew up in Anchorage. I'm currently talking to you from Anchorage, where I live and work. So it's great to be bringing my skills that I've accumulated during the course of my career back to my home state and applying them here with these larger energy issues. So again, this is sort of a broad brushstroke of how our office fits into the energy Department of Energy landscape. And we are really meant to be working across all the offices in the department on issues of Arctic relevance. Next slide, please.
Doctor, if I could, Representative, we're joined by Representative Carrick at the beginning of the slide, but I didn't want to interrupt you, but please go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. If any of you have traveled through the Anchorage Airport recently, or I'm sure you have, you'll notice the tribute to Ted Stevens there in the airport, which actually mentions his work to establish the Arctic Energy Office. The Arctic Energy Office was reestablished in 2019 under Energy Secretary Rick Perry. It has had an interim director for the past 2 years, and I'm the first permanent director. Before it was reestablished, it was living under a different department in the Department of Energy, but it's now since sort of reachieved some prominence, and we are moving forward trying to focus the office and make sure that it is relevant to Alaska and DOE's current activities. Next slide, please. This is a brief snapshot of our team. We are small but mighty. There are five of us. Two of us are located in Alaska, and the others are stationed in D.C. and elsewhere, according to their expertise. Some of you may know Gibby Kochanowski, who's the other Alaskan in the office, and then we have a slew of others who help us with some of our international affairs, our science affairs, and our communications. We have lots of different areas of expertise. And again, we're here to support the Department of Energy, and we're here to help with Arctic energy transitions and make sure that Alaska is not left behind and can even be a leader in this transition. And we're also, we're a convening office. We're not a funding office, but we are here to bring stakeholders to the table and make sure that Arctic issues are considered in Department of Energy activities. So you can think of us as a champion for the Arctic in Alaska. Who's trying to make sure that the voices are heard on a national level, and then also an office to bring resources to Alaska. Next slide, please. I mentioned earlier we have these three areas of responsibility with regard to energy, science, and security, and I just want to briefly go through those three pillars and give you a sense of the different activities and technologies and areas of emphasis within those three pillars that we touch on. There's a lot of information on the slide here. The point is that we have expertise and can talk about many, many different technologies when it comes to energy, and we're involved in lots of conversations about energy technologies in Alaska. You can see them listed here topically. Some specific examples, just to give you some context. I, for example, lead the Hydrogen Energy Working Group for Alaska, which is exploring what a hydrogen ecosystem might look like in terms of an energy transition for the state. We sit on the Nuclear Energy Working Group, which is exploring all the questions around what nuclear energy might mean for the state. And we have our hands on lots of DOE investments and projects in the state across a range of technologies. Next slide, please. We also focus on science in addition to energy. There are a number of science investments. In fact, DOE's investments in science are probably greater than its investments in energy in the Arctic, interestingly enough. There are various atmospheric monitoring stations up north. There are Earth system modeling projects. One of the very interesting recent developments, which is not listed here, is that our office is supporting the first ever Arctic Energy Embassy Fellow in Iceland. And this will be a gentleman from the Cold Climate Housing Research Center, which is now part of the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, Aaron Cook, who will be heading over to Iceland for 2 months to think about some of the interactions and overlaps and differences between different energy systems in Iceland and Alaska. So research is alive and well, and we keep our hands on the pulse of those Department of Energy activities in Alaska. Next slide, please. I was asked by Representative Rauscher's aide, Craig Valdez, to touch on a couple recent reports that have come out about the Arctic and how our office interfaces with that information. Some of you may have heard of the U.S. Arctic Research Commission's report on Arctic research that came out in February of this year. There is a web address there if you want to look it up. It's a beautiful report with a great picture of an icebreaker on the front. I was scanning through it for its relevance to our office's activities. There are five different sections. In the section on infrastructure, there is a emphasis on research methods to explore infrastructure that helps to adapt to our changing Arctic climate. And a lot of times that infrastructure is energy related. With regard to economics, there's a recognition of the impact of the Arctic region, the global economy's impact on the Arctic region. And I think this relates, you know, to marine shipping operations that may be increasing due to decreased sea ice. There are, you know, efforts afoot to create test beds for ocean technology, mariculture. These are all intertwined with the global economy and the Arctic economy. And then there's also a section about research cooperation. And that's Arctic is certainly a place where we focus on research in the energy sector, and we work with lots of different international partners because of our geography. So just want to highlight that if you want to go look at it for more in-depth information later. Next slide, please. In addition to the pillars of energy and science, we also focus on security. And we have a dedicated person in our office in DC, who Mike McElhaney, who helps us with that. And we participate in the Arctic Council. We have participated in the National Strategy for the Arctic Region. We are represented at the White House. One of the programs more locally, but with an international flavor, is the ARENA program, the Arctic Remote Energy Networks Academy, where we have cooperated with Iceland and Canada to take a cohort of energy practitioners between our different countries for actually on-site gatherings where they learn about different energy activities and approaches in these different countries and then share their information with each other and with their local stakeholders afterwards. So we try to maintain that international perspective because it is a critical part of our Arctic geography. Next slide, please. I was also asked to comment on the National Strategy for the Arctic Region. This is being headed up by the White House, and I wanted to let you know that Arctic Energy staff, before I got here in January, have been participating in the drafting of the strategy and its recommendations. And in concert with the development of that is the U.S. Department of Energy's Arctic strategy. So the next slide has a few points about both of these documents that I just want to bring to your attention. In the National Strategy for the Arctic Region, so let's go to the next slide, please. I think we're on the right one. It should say National Strategy for the Arctic Region at the top. Is that what it says?
Doctor, if I could interrupt for a second, Representative Wright has a question.
Thank you. Yes.
Doctor, through the chair, could you tell me who all is involved with the Arctic strategy, who are proposing the strategy, who's coming up with the plan for it. Can you tell me all the players that are involved?
Through the chair, the national strategy for the Arctic region is an interagency effort that's being coordinated through the Arctic Executive Steering Committee, which is headed by David Balton in the Office of Science and Technology Policy in the White House. There's about, 30, 40 people. I would be happy to send you a list of everyone who is involved if that would be a more complete answer to your question. But I'm afraid I can't list them all off the top of my head.
Follow up?
Right. Would that be suitable?
Well, if you could tell me what organizations, I don't need the names of the individuals, just the organizations that are involved.
Most of the federal departments, so Department of Energy, Department of Interior, the EPA, Department of State, Department of Commerce, you name it. It's all the different federal departments.
Anyone from Alaska? Follow up.
Please, sir.
Anyone from Alaska besides yourself and your team?
Not that. Well, Department of Interior, has Alaska representatives here. And presumably many of these departments are putting their Arctic experts towards this. I'm furiously trying to look up the list of participants here. I'm afraid I'm going to have to get back to you afterwards, and I would be happy to do that.
That'd be great to the chair. That'd be greatly appreciated.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Representative Ryan. And, Doctor, if you could provide the information to the committee, that would be great, just to understand all the agencies that are working together in that national strategy, and maybe the individuals involved with some ways to contact them anyway. Thank you.
Yep, I would be happy to send that, and I will do that later. Thank you. Next slide, please. This slide should say national strategy for the Arctic region across the top. Again, I can't see the slides from there, so. Hopefully we're all still together. There are three pillars associated with this Arctic strategy. The first one is security. The second one is climate change and environmental protection. The third one, which is the one that our office and specifically our senior advisor, Mike Michelini, has been leading up, is sustainable economic development. And then the fourth one is international cooperation and governance. Specific to Alaska, I pulled out these parts for the strategy. It supports the development of a deep draft harbor in Nome, as well as other infrastructure developments in the state. It also commits to helping to improve access to affordable energy by developing renewable energy generation, storage, transmission, and distribution, so the entire ecosystem. And it also does not ignore the role of critical minerals production for these renewable energies and some of the other supporting economies around renewable energies. And I should mention that right now there is effort being put towards developing the National Strategy for the Arctic Region Implementation Plan, which will be much longer and much more detailed with regard to how the government would like to see these objectives being developed. So that is in review right now, and I would be happy to forward to you after this presentation the names of people involved in that effort as well, if that would be useful.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Please continue.
Okay. Next slide, please. I mentioned that the National Strategy for the Arctic Region has influenced the Department of Energy's Arctic Strategy, and the Arctic Strategy for the Department of Energy is what really guides our office. We see emphasis on these three areas of these three topics that I mentioned earlier, energy, science, and security, that I've highlighted our reach on. With regard to energy, there's an emphasis an encouragement of demonstrations and deployments, infrastructure, technical assistance, and loan programs, all things that we can benefit from here in Alaska. With regard to scientific understanding, It's about engaging with lots of different stakeholders and making sure that the science that is done by the Department of Energy is relevant to the Arctic. And with regard to security, it's about focusing on our security with respect to a changing climate, and also in cooperation with our national lab system. So that is what guides our office, and it's a lot to cover, but it's what keeps life interesting and stimulating. So next slide, please. I've talked a lot about the department as a whole, but as an Alaskan, I also want to highlight its focus on Alaska over the past years and also moving forward. Actually, today is the first meeting of the state's Energy Security Task Force. I am an ex officio member on that task force and will be heading into downtown Anchorage in a few hours to participate, along with 20 or so other people. I'm sure you've seen the press releases. I'm very excited to be able to advise that process and be involved in those conversations. We're also involved in energy working groups across the state. So I mentioned earlier, we're part of the nuclear energy working group. I am leading the hydrogen working group. There's other working groups as well. There's the carbon capture, utilization, and storage group, which helps us leverage our fossil fuel resources, which cannot be left out of the mix. And there's been a number of funding awards made, and this is a very short list. There is a longer list of even more Department of Energy awards that have been made on our website to individual communities. But there have been awards made to the energy programs for weatherization assistance. And we are compiling a recent or more recent list of all the awards DOE has given to Alaska in the last decade. I've asked for that because I would like to have that clear view so that we can see where our gaps are and where we need to be focusing. So I hope that this slide can be expanded to be much greater in the coming months and years. Next slide, please. This is just a highlight of, again, all the sort of internal and interagency and international coordination that we're involved in. Even though we are focusing on the Arctic, it involves a lot of partners outside of Alaska to make sure our interests are represented. There are various international forums we are part of. We interface with the national labs. We interface with the National Security Council. I mentioned the Arctic Embassy Science Fellow to Iceland. And then, of course, we work with lots of different government agencies. So I mentioned the Office of Science and Technology Policy in the White House in the work on the National Strategy for the Arctic Region. We work with the Denali Commission within the state and lots of other federal and state agencies to make sure that everyone is at the table, all the voices are heard, and that we're coordinating with people in Alaska and not just working in a vacuum. So again, lots of connections there. If we can ever help you make connections to any of these groups or organizations or networks, if it would be helpful for your own efforts. Next slide, please. Another resource that we bring to Alaska, which I think is also particularly powerful, is our relationships with the National Lab Network. There are about a dozen national labs across the nation. I worked in one of them, the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, when I was fresh out of graduate school. And we communicate with all the national labs that are doing work in Alaska, and we also keep tabs on what their expertise and resources are relative to Alaska needs. And that's not to say that we don't have that some of that expertise in state. And as a former university member, I think I have a good handle on sort of the technical expertise that we do have in state, but sometimes we need some extra help. And so the Arctic Energy Office can be that portal and that connector for helping stakeholders within Alaska to connect with national lab expertise as needed. And I want to emphasize here that the Department of Energy is this sort of complicated, many-headed monster, and it's a little bit hard to navigate. And as a new federal employee myself, I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out the organization of the department. But, you know, the average person doesn't need to do that. And we can be the front door for the Department of Energy, for Alaska and Arctic stakeholders. And we encourage folks to come to us when they have questions about Department of Energy or even other federal activities. And it's something that we can help track down and be that focal point for. So a little bit there. So next slide, please. Little factoid here, the Arctic Energy Office is actually responsible for a small sliver of airspace adjacent to Aliktok, which is the farthest north drivable location in the U.S. And Aliktok is the site of some scientific research activities that Sandia National Lab is investing in, and Sandia helps us oversee that airspace. So this was news to me when I joined the office. I didn't know that I would be overseeing airspace, but a fun factoid nevertheless. Next slide, please. A lot of people have asked me, so Aaron, what do you want to do with the office? And so I do have some priorities moving forward that I have clarified in the past couple months on the job. One of my priorities is to really make sure that we see demonstrations and deployments in the state and developing the partnerships and the teams to do that. And so that involves working across the Department of Energy, developing relationships in Washington, D.C., and leveraging all the resources of the Department of Energy to make those things happen in Alaska. I do believe that, you know, a lot of things need to have a proof of concept. And once people and organizations and entities see that they work, they'll follow. We are also key to helping to organize and disseminate information on DOE funding opportunities. The number of funding opportunities that are coming out of the federal government right now is huge. They're overwhelming. I get several emails a day about it, and I can't even imagine how anyone else keeps them straight. So one of the things we did recently that we hope to replicate moving forward is we co-hosted a webinar with one of the funding offices at DOE that was Alaska specific. And we went over funding opportunities from that office that would be of relevance to Alaskans. And it was attended by almost 50 people. It was, we thought, very successful. And so we'll be following up and doing other webinars like that with other funding offices in DOE to help people understand what the funding opportunities are from DOE for Alaska, so that Alaska doesn't miss out on the historical levels of funding that are available right now for the energy transition. Along with seeing projects in the state, we have to develop human capacity in our workforce. The two go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. And so we're working on some approaches to that and some resources that we can put towards that. And then the other thing I am passionate about is making sure that we communicate the value of Arctic energy projects to national priorities. There is so much value to the work that happens up here and the energy projects that communities are trying and perfecting and pioneering, quite frankly. We have over 200 remote microgrids in our state, and many of them are pioneers in renewable energy integration, not because they're environmentalists, but because they are dealing with everyday issues of affordability and energy security, and they are looking towards their local resources. And there's lots that the rest of the nation can learn from them. And I try to toot Alaska's horn whenever I can so that the rest of the nation and the folks in D.C. understand why our activities are important up here in terms of the rest of the nation and the lessons that can be learned.
Doctor,
so next slide, please.
Doctor,
go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. The slide before this, when you said the DOE operates two airspaces on the North Slope, could you explain or expound a little on your role in what that means?
We're just responsible for monitoring activities. And so, truthfully, this is contracted out to Sandia National Laboratories. And they just, it's a pretty minimal role. If there's any, anything of alarm, you know, they are notified, and then they coordinate with the FAA. And I think that's probably all I can say. And that's all I've been told.
Okay. So, is that your personal role, or is there somebody else dedicated to do that?
Sandia National Lab monitors that for us.
Okay. And in 2015, the U.S. Department of Energy, the budget was $27.9 billion, and in 2020 it was $31.7 billion. What is it now? Do you know what the budget for the U.S. Department of Energy is?
I don't know the overall budget. The Arctic Energy Office has about $2 million a year, so a very, very small amount of that. I would be happy to look that up for you, though.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you. If you continue, go ahead. Thank you.
Are there any specific departmental or office budgets that you're interested in within the department?
I was trying to get a grip on, you covered a lot of ground here, and I was just wondering what your overall budget on all that was. Apparently it's $2 million.
For the Arctic Energy Office.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. And then moving forward to the last slide, it should say thank you at the top. Some extra resources here. Happy to send these to you in a follow-up email so you don't have to scribble them down. You can reach me. You can reach our office. We have a webpage that summarizes a lot of our resources. And has links to more information. We are on LinkedIn. We are in Twitter. We have a quarterly newsletter, which you can subscribe to hear about things that are happening in the office and across the state. So, again, I simply wanted to highlight our areas of purview, the resources we have access to. And I also want to emphasize that we want to hear from you. We want to hear from our stakeholders. How can the Arctic Energy Office be useful for you? And what would you like to see the Arctic Energy Office doing? Since I am new to my role, this is a great time for me to be shaping these priorities moving forward. And it's really important to me that I hear from as many people as possible and seek their input, because we're only as good as the input we receive from our stakeholders. So thank you so much.
Okay. Well, Doctor, in the state of Alaska now, you have what? You have a photo with five people in it earlier in the slide. And you said some of them actually were in Washington, D.C., correct?
Correct. Yeah. And two of us are here in Alaska.
With you here in the state of Alaska, I guess, is the question. Would that be three or so?
No, there's two of us in Alaska. Two of the five of us are in Alaska, including myself.
I see. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Any other questions for the members of the committee? Representative Prox has a question.
Yes. Your office seems a little thin, but I mean spread a little thin. But a specific, Alaska has a significant coal resource. There's some folks think that can be developed in an environmentally friendly way, but the word is coal. Are you thinking about that at all, or is coal just plumb off is not a subject for discussion?
We take an all of the above approach. Oh, so through the chair, we take an all of the above approach. Actually, at the end of February, we hosted some critical minerals and carbon management workshops with another DOE office, which is the Fossil Energy and Carbon Management Office. And that was all about extracting fossil fuel resources, so oil, gas, coal, and thinking about how we might pair it with carbon management technology. So that could be carbon sequestration, carbon capture, and ways to responsibly develop those resources so that we, you know, have the resources that we need for our activities and that our nation is demanding, but also trying to find ways to do it in environmentally responsible ways that meet the administration's climate goals. So big efforts and a lot of money being put toward resources such as coal extraction and how it can be paired with environmental management technologies such that it does meet those climate goals. Does that answer the question?
Representative
yes.
Prox is
pretty much
satisfied there?
Yep.
Representative Prox without a tie today.
Without a tie, yes. I know.
So anybody else have a question for the for the Representative Prox?
Yeah, just on a maybe higher level, I'm trying to kind of get my arms around the primary purpose of this Arctic Energy Office. Is it to look at what's going on and try to relate that information to other agencies and people working on specific projects in Alaska? Are you advocating certain things? Are you in charge of decision-making capacity somewhere? Or what is kind of the primary function of this Arctic Energy Office?
We are Alaska's voice to the department. So we are bringing priorities to the department's attention. You know, for example, there was a funding opportunity that came out of the Department of Energy several months ago, and the language precluded Native consortiums. And we helped take that feedback back to the Department of Energy, and we made some changes, and we were able to extend the deadline, and we were able to move forward so that those entities could apply for funding. So that's one example there. We also, you know, we take the needs that we see in Alaska and we try to communicate those to the Department of Energy. So when they roll out programs and they roll out funding, they don't forget about us up here. You know, it's amazing how many people think that Alaska is, you know, the size of Hawaii because of where they see it on the maps. And sometimes we just need to get in people's faces and let them know what the realities of the situation are up here. We're also really important in terms of communicating Indigenous needs. You know, we have half of the 500 and some odd federally recognized tribes up here. And we need to make sure that opportunities for tribal entities are rolled out appropriately. So we provide that feedback. But like I mentioned earlier, when we hear from communities and energy project developers, they often need resources from the Department of Energy or need information. So we act as that conduit. Our office is involved in reviewing funding proposals. And those may include proposals that come in from Alaskans. And so we provide that Alaskan perspective on that review process because, honestly, you know, I think sometimes our priorities are not understood or even valued in the Department of Energy. You know, there's a big focus nationally on rolling out in measuring success of renewable installations by the number of megawatts installed. And we're never going to compete with, you know, California and Arizona for getting, you know, that amount of renewables installed. But we have other metrics that are important to us, such as lowering the cost of energy and relating energy projects to improvements in other aspects of life, such as, you know, water treatment systems or water systems, you know, even to begin with, or food systems, and understanding how energy crosses over into some of those really important aspects of overall wellness for some of our rural communities. And so we bring those considerations to the table when projects are being evaluated for funding at the Department of Energy. Let me just stop there and ask through the chair if that helps at all or if you were looking for something else.
Representative Prox, you have a follow-up through the chair?
Yeah, follow-up through the chair, please. You mentioned the Port of Nome airports, water projects. Department of Energy wouldn't be the first agency that I think of for those projects. And so do you help advise people that are pursuing projects in on, well, I guess, how the Department of Energy interfaces?
Through the chair, yes, we can help advise on projects And that implementation strategy that I mentioned that is under development will further clarify what the Department of Energy's role is. I would say that is still an evolving question there. Is it, and through the chair, I would ask, is there a role you would like, a greater role you would like to see the Department of Energy playing in that particular project or others?
No, through the chair, no. I was just trying to get my arms around how your group, the Arctic Energy Office, interfaces with many other groups that are working on things that involve federal funding. And I'm surprised, I guess, that it's so spread out. Everything, again, from airports and water projects to in-river hydro.
Yes.
So I don't know which state departments or which of the different, we've had a dozen or more individual projects come and present their stuff to us. In maybe they should be in contact with you. Don't know.
Maybe they are.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
Through the Arctic Executive Steering Committee, we do have those interactions with these other agencies, and then also through other lots of interactions at other levels as well. So it's a big ecosystem and it's messy and there's lots of connections. But one of our priorities is to stay connected and communicating with all of those agencies.
Representative Wright, you have a question.
Through the chair, Dr. Whitney, I just wanted to go back to my question earlier, just so you understand my concerns. The understanding of a strategic plan for the Arctic, knowing that there's not a lot of Alaskans that had input on, you know, what happens in the strategic plan, it concerns me. I know that there has been some talk, and I've been a part of writing a strategic plan, loosely, not writing it myself, but, you know, I was there just giving input. And, I worry about people making decisions for the Arctic who never set foot in the Arctic. You know, we make America an Arctic nation, and, you know, without us, that couldn't be possible. So, you know, I would like to see more Alaskans on that list. I would like to have our representation be a part of it. So thank you.
Thank you. Through the chair, I share that very same concern. And I promise you, I will get a list of who is involved in the drafting of that plan and would be happy to talk with you in more detail about how to amplify and get more Alaskans' voices heard on this and lots of other projects.
Representative, you okay? Good. All right. Anybody else has a question for the doctor? All right. Well, Dr. Whitney, we appreciate your testifying today. We appreciate the information you brought us. We thank you for your time and the information that you are going to provide for us later on. We thank you for that also. So at this time, let me check my notes. Make sure I'm not going to forget something very, very important here today. All right. Our next meeting, Tuesday, April 27th at 10:15 a.m., where we will begin our work on HB 121. Thursday, we're not. You have Tuesday down here? What?
We are meeting Thursday.
Thursday. And anyway, we're going to start talking about 121, which is the RPS bill. All right. And so if there's no further meeting for the business for this committee, I'm going to adjourn it at 11 a.m.